be. But this has been a blessing tonight. And it's always a blessing to get together with all of you from Trinity Bible Church as well. And we have a great deal in common, certainly the blessings that the Lord has given. But I want to reflect for just a moment on the first Thanksgiving, which Matthew talked about a little bit. But it was in 1621 that the first harvest of the pilgrims was completed. And they had a three-day celebration. So their celebration was a little different, lasted a little longer. William Bradford invited 90 Indians and the 53 pilgrims that survived the winter that came across on the Mayflower. They all celebrated the first Thanksgiving in October of 1621. The next reference to Thanksgiving goes to George Washington in 1789, and he gave the first Thanksgiving address to the nation. And that was to be thankful for all that God had done in giving this nation a birth, and that we are to be thankful to God. And then in 1863, Abraham Lincoln was the one who established the fourth Thursday in every November to be a day of thanksgiving. These are his words, a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, the beneficent creator and ruler of the universe. And he called everyone to humility and prayer. And it's interesting because I think today Thanksgiving has been more focused upon the gifts that are given rather than the giver of the gifts. And those who have gone before us have focused on the giver of the gifts. God is that giver, and we receive gifts that he gives, and then we give him thanks. I always think this God who gives us gifts, gives us great things, including our salvation, which changes our lives completely, and therefore we give him praise and thanksgiving. And the burden of thanksgiving is upon Christians, because we're the ones who have received the gifts, and we are the ones who have truly been changed by them, and therefore we are the ones who give the glory and the thanks and the praise to God. So I want to say a little bit about Thanksgiving, but I want you to turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. And you say, what? To Numbers chapter 11. And you might be thinking, well, I'm going to be speaking on some genealogy or something that is often included in the Old Testament. I said, no. It's a different passage. And I think dealing with a truth that is pertinent to every Thanksgiving. And if I'm going to have to summarize some of this, but in Numbers chapter 11, in the first three verses, you have the people. These are the people who have just come out from slavery. And all the provision of God. They've just come out, they're in the wilderness, and they begin complaining. And God, in the first three verses, sends a divine fire. People cry out, and Moses prayed, and they are delivered. And then in verse 4 of chapter 11, there's a craving for meat. God has provided bread. He puts bread upon the ground, the manna. But they were craving for meat, and they said, you know, not just this manna. I want to make a recommendation to you tomorrow when you sit down at the dinner table. Please do not say, is it this turkey again that we have to eat? That's not a very nice thing to say, and it's not very nice to say, you know, all we have is this manna. It's sort of stated in that way. This is the first Wonder Bread, by the way, but it is really Wonder Bread that God puts on the ground for them to eat. It's terrific. And so Moses is greatly displeased. And look at chapter 11 and verse 10. I'm going to read part of this because this sets the stage for what is about to be revealed. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? By the way, I've been told never to take things personally, but it just happens when, you know, Moses takes this very personally. I mean, the person he's talking about, why is this happening to me? But notice the statement, why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all this people upon me? Did I conceive all these people? I don't know, it's taking things personally here. Did I conceive these? Did I beget them, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which I swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. So what happens in the next statement? The Lord speaks to Moses. And in verses 16 and 17, I'm not going to go to this passage, but he says, well, I'll give you 70 men to bear the burden. You've been bearing the burden alone. I'm going to give you 70 elders, 70 men to bear the burden of ministry with you. It's a great provision the Lord makes, and part of this is about the Lord making that provision, the Spirit of God coming upon them. It's a wonderful provision, and Moses is no longer alone in bearing all of this burden. But in verse 18, he deals with the food and with the meat. Verse 18 reads, then you shall say to the people, sanctify yourself for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? Well, that's a great provision and a great promise. The Lord says, I'm going to give you meat, so much meat, that it will become loathsome to you. So Moses again speaks. And Moses said, verse 21, the people who I am among are 600,000 men on foot. He was called to number the soldiers. And in the past, he has those numbers, and the chapters and numbers relate to that. So we have, and we know how many people you're talking about, because he's talking about 600,000 men on foot. And these are men who are able to fight in battle. Which means if it's 600,000, then you probably have an equal number of women, I would assume. So we're talking about the size of this wilderness group being, you know, over 1 million people, maybe 1,200,000 people, maybe all the way up to 2 million people. It's just this large group. And he's looking, he says, I'm among at least 600,000 men on foot, yet you have said, I will give them meat, that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? Now this is Moses speaking to God. This is amazing. And what's even more amazing, and I can't help but think, and maybe it's just me, but there's a little humor in the way the Lord responds to him. But he says this, and the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you will see whether my word will befall you or not. Has the Lord's arm been shortened? To me, it's if this was not a question, if it was just a statement, it wouldn't be humorous. But it's like the Lord is talking to Moses and he's saying, and this is an anthropomorphic expression. That means he's describing things in human terms because God is spirit. God doesn't have arms like we have arms. He, God, is spirit. But it's like God is asking Moses, he says, it's like God is looking at himself in an anthropomorphic way, and he says, has my arm become short? I didn't know this had happened. I mean, when he speaks of his arm, he's speaking about the power, his power, the power of God. He said, I didn't really know. Is this happening to me that I've got one arm that goes this way? And is this arm weakened? Has my power gone away? And that's where there's a sense in which there needs to be a reminder of what the Lord has done. I mean, the Lord delivered the children of Israel not out of great blessing in Egypt, but out of slavery. And he did so with 10 mighty miracles of judgment. And then when the people were delivered from the land, they went out to the Red Sea, and they were encompassed by the army of Pharaoh who came after them, and they said, we're all going to die. And another miracle happens, and the Lord spreads the Red Sea. And they walk through on dry land. And then the Egyptian army comes, the most powerful army in the world. The Egyptian army comes in, and the waters close upon them. And the enemy is destroyed. And then the Lord brings them into the land, and he puts the manna upon the ground for them. And the Lord has done all of this for them. Where is the thanksgiving? And the answer is, well, they're not thankful. They're complaining. And Moses is even to the place where he's sort of wondering how it is that God could possibly provide meat. I mean, it's as if he's saying, if we killed all the animals that we have and ate all of that, we would still not have enough meat. But the Lord says, has the arm of the Lord, and this is why it's very serious, it's not humorous, but the Lord is questioning Moses because he wants Moses to answer this question, but he never gives him the opportunity. Has the arm of the Lord been shortened? And the response to that is what the Lord says. Now you shall see whether my word will befall you or not. Now you will see whether or not my arm has been shortened, because it has not. It has not been shortened. Moses was to remember all the things that God had really accomplished and all the things that God has done. And that's why thanksgiving is a part and should be a part of our daily lives. Because we're trusting in the God whose arm has not been shortened. And it was not shortened after Jesus Christ came and accomplished all the miracles there and accomplished our salvation at the cross. And it has not been shortened even to this day. God's arm is not shortened in your life and in my life. That's wonderful truth. It's very easy to sort of think that, well, with the Old Testament scriptures, you know, you're looking back at what God did in wonderful ways back then, but has his arm been shortened today? The answer is no. His arm has never been shortened. He is Almighty God. And that takes you to a passage which talks about thanksgiving. Look at Philippians. And again, look at Philippians chapter 4. Because here we're told, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what? Well, thanksgiving for what the powerful arm of God has done in providing for us in the past. The salvation that God has powerfully accomplished for us in the past. And the great things that God has accomplished individually in our hearts and lives in bringing us to salvation in Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for, and then the blessings that God gives to us in this life. But being thankful to God is recognizing that his arm has never grown short. In these dark days, it's easy to look at life and to look at our lives and think about what is a day going to bring for us in America? What is a day going to bring in this world? Has the arm of God been shortened? Has God lost his mighty power? And the answer to that is never. That's never true. And so we as the Lord's people, we come together to be thankful to God. Thankful to God for what? For all that his mighty arm has and is and will accomplish in carrying out his purposes in our world. And it's wonderful to focus in on this statement. I think, you know, when you look at Philippians and it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious. God will give you peace. But ask him. But when you come, remember. I have a good friend at Horizon Christian High School who made a t-shirt for me. It says, remember to remember. I thought it's a great t-shirt. Remember to remember. I don't wear it to preach here, but maybe I should. Remember to remember. But when we come to Thanksgiving, we need to remember what God has done and open up the scriptures and read about what he has done, because that's why he's given it to us. So we see what he did with his people. And I'll say, his arm has not grown short, and his memory is not faulty. He has not forgotten us. And God is accomplishing his purposes in your life by his mighty power, and his arm has not grown short. So I say it more in the, not a question, has the arm of the Lord grown short? I say, no. I say it in the affirmative. I say, the arm of the Lord has not been shortened. The arm of the Lord has not been shortened. Therefore, give thanks. Therefore, give thanks. Because his mighty arm is mighty for you and for me. That's what he's promised. And every promise that he has made, he wants us to rehearse to him. As if we come before him like Moses and say, have you said that you will never leave us and you'll never forsake us? And God would answer and say, has my arm grown short? Now you will see what I will do for you. We have a great God. And the reason we focus on thanksgiving upon our great God is because he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Our hope and trust is in him. Well, I'd like to continue, but we need to end in prayer. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God whose arm is never shortened. Your power is never diminished. You are never weak. You are never faulty in your memory for us. We are so thankful that you are the living God, the God of mighty power, the God who is still accomplishing his purposes, your purposes, in our hearts and life. We are so thankful for you. May we never doubt the length of your arm, your mighty power. May we never see the darkness and doubt whether the light can overwhelm the darkness. May we be confident, Lord, in you. And yes, we look back and we remember what you did for Moses and the people in the land. And we remember all your mighty miracles and all the things that you have accomplished. And we know that you're still accomplishing your perfect purposes in our hearts and lives as well. And so we thank you. We thank you for the blessings that only come from you, that only you can give. And we're thankful that you've given in the past. You give it to us now. And you're giving of this blessings in the future. Our hope and our trust is in the God whose arm is never shortened. Thank you for the blessings you give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.